The Lord some praise right now. Everybody just close your eyes, lift your hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dan, do you mind if I use your stand here? Is that all right with you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I like to be close to you guys. Is that all right? I like to be close to my friends. Do we have a podium? Yeah, if we can do anything like that, that'd be cool. First of all, I want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. If your father, can you raise your hand? If your dad, happy Father's Day, guys. Give him a round of applause. For the record, me and my wife are not having any kids, just in case any of you guys haven't asked us yet. We're not planning on having any kids just yet. That's probably a question that we get asked twice a service. We've thought maybe, unless we get a house. So if you really want us to have kids, you're welcome to buy us a house. And then we'll pop some out a little sooner. So, and I want to thank the father of this house, Pastor Bob. I know, man, thank you, Lord. So you have a ministry for 49 years, and you have people that you love, and you have people that you care about, and you have to be very cautious about who you give a microphone, because the saying goes, sticks and stones can break a bones, but words will never hurt you. But the reality is that the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when you give a minister a microphone to speak to a congregation, you give that person an opportunity to build up the church or to tear that church down. And I don't take that lightly, having the opportunity not only just here for Pastor Bob Nichols, but also of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because I want you guys to understand one thing, is that me and my own, I have absolutely nothing to offer you guys. I have nothing. Me and my own, I have nothing to offer you guys. So I want you guys to go ahead and get a good look at me right now, because over the next 13 minutes, I'm going to look exactly the same. So instead, I want you guys to get your eyes on Jesus for the next 13 minutes. Because he's the one that's going to provide every single one of your needs. I do not care if it's a financial need. I do not care if it's a physical need. I do not care if it's an emotional need. You see, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. You see, if you enter into the presence of God, your need will be met right in your seat. You don't need me to pull you out and prophesy over you. You don't need me to pull you out and pray over you, because the Spirit of God has your number. He knows your address. He's got your name. And by the way, he's count every single one of the hairs on your head. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So if I just get excited about the Lord tonight, don't mind me, because I know what the Lord's done for me. Man, if I just break down and just start praising God, don't blame me, because I know what he's done for me. Man, if I just get excited and start to tell you about the King of Glory. Don't blame me, because I know what the Holy Ghost has done in my life. And I'm telling you, is that when Jesus is alive on the inside of you, when your salvation is real to you, you'll go to the ends of the earth to tell of his goodness and of his love. You're not going to need someone else to put a fire under your rear end to do it. You're not going to need someone else to preach you to go out and do it. You're not going to need someone else to go out and prophesy to you to do it. Who can believe unless they hear? And who can hear unless someone preaches? And who can preach unless someone's sent? Man, I've been here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for 6 months of the 49 years this church has been here. And I've been sent every single Sunday. If I ever had a question one Sunday from the next, oh Lord, I don't know, am I sent? For sure enough, after today's message, who here realizes y'all been sent? Pastor Bob sent every single one of you guys into the utter ends of Fort Worth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you just get your eyes on Jesus right now. See, the presence of God is just here to touch you. You see, it's a river that flows from the throne of God. I'm telling you, it's not a swamp, it's not a bay, that it's a mighty rushing wind that is flowing from the throne of heaven right now, that at any moment you want, you can jump in head first. You don't have to stand on the riverbanks. You don't have to be just ankle deep. For the men in the house, you don't have to get in the waters just right here. All right? You can get in all the way. It's comfortable, I promise you. The water is nice. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. It's a river of joy. It makes glad the city of Zion. You see, when the psalmist prophesied that, he prophesied that about you and me. We are the promised city of Zion. We are the dwelling place of the Most High God. You are a tabernacle of the glory of God. And you can have as much of God as you want or as little of God as you want. You don't have to pay monthly fees to the throne room of God. You don't have to pay data usage on the throne room of God. You don't need rollover minutes. You're on an unlimited plan. You see, and the Bible says that God is no respecters of person. Tara got it. You see, because when you see people like Smith Wigglesworth, and you realize that God is no respecter of person, man, I start to get excited. When you see ministers like Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, and then you see that God is no respecter of person, I start to get excited. When I read about people like Peter and Paul, and I see that God is no respecter of person, I start to get excited. Because I read somewhere that the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro to find someone he can show himself strong in. That he can show himself strong in. It boils down to availability. It just boils down to yielding to the Spirit of God. And if you can't yield and receive in the pew, you're not going to be able to yield and disperse outside of the pew. If you can't recognize the touch of God as it's coming on you now, you're not going to recognize the anointing and the touch of God as it's wanting to flow through you on the streets. Can you say amen? Because it's all about being an usher. It's just an usher of the presence of God. That's all it is. That's why Sal Tagaloa is such a wonderful Bible study leader, because he's a great usher here. He just flows. He's just obedient to the man of God in the house. And he's just obedient to the Spirit of God out in the Bible study. Again, get your eyes on Jesus, guys. Get your eyes on Jesus. I have nothing for you. I have nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing. Jesus has everything. See, and we're not designed to walk by our natural realm. We have to walk by faith. And that's why it really necessarily doesn't get easier. Because as you go, it's from glory to glory. When you believe God for one, then he's going to push you out and you believe God for five. When you believe God for your rent, then you believe God for your rent and your cell phone bill. And then when you believe God for that, then you believe God for your mortgage. And then you step out on faith and you fill in the blank for you guys. So if you're sitting back waiting for it just to get easier, if you're saying to yourself, well, I'll just start to do what I know that the Lord has put in my heart to do when it gets a little bit easier, you're going to miss God your whole life. Can you say amen? I don't know what time I got up here. I think I only have a couple minutes left. See, if we did everything that we wanted to do, I'll put it this way. If your kids did everything they wanted to do, they would never clean their room. Parents in the house, is that true? If your kids did everything they felt comfortable doing, they'd have Oreos for breakfast. Yet I speak to Christians and they just say, well, I just don't feel comfortable about winning souls. And I can say, I appreciate that. It's not really supposed to be in your realm of comfort because God hasn't designed you to operate in your realm of comfort. So why are you going to get after your kid when he doesn't want to clean his room, but the Lord's speaking to you about doing X, Y, and Z, and you're saying, well, I just don't feel comfortable about doing that. And you say, Troy, read that to me out of the Bible. Thank you. Open up to Romans chapter 8. I'm so glad you guys asked. Are you guys just receiving something from heaven right now? Again, get your eyes off me. Get your eyes on God. There's something I wanted to do that was going to take about 3 or 4 minutes. So do you know where I'm at? Okay. Thank you. Romans chapter 8. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just close your eyes right now. Receive from God. See, this is what I mean by having your faith activated. See, your faith has to be activated to receive from God. It don't matter where what the situation is, what the circumstances, your faith has to be activated. That's why God's called us to walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, whether you're in a, when you're in a sermon hearing Pastor Bob preach or whoever preach, your faith has to be activated to receive from heaven. When you're out there on the streets winning some of the Lord, you still have to have your faith activated. When you're believing God for a breakthrough in your marriage, you still have to have your faith activated. When you're believing God for a breakthrough with your kids, you have to have your faith activated. It has to be alive. It has to be something that you're pressing. See, that's how faith works. It's not necessarily a comfort zone or else it wouldn't be faith. That's why faith is like the, you know, you might not know the whole track, but you just see the next step in front of you. And sometimes that next step is Soria Ronda Rababasa. Sometimes it's just Shiria Ronda Rabababasa Karababasa. Sometimes that next step is just, I worship you. Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. Sometimes that's the next step. And you want to know what I'm... You don't need to tell me, I know I'm not the best singer. God hasn't anointed me to sing, but he would rather hear me sing than Justin Bieber. He'd rather hear you sing than Jay-Z. He'd rather hear you sing than Mariah Carey, because your lips will glorify the Most High. So step over into that realm. Step over into that realm. Step over. I'm begging you because it's so good over here. I'm begging you because the new wine is so good. And it's free. And there's a never-ending supply. And you have access to it whenever you want to turn the faith switch on. And if you're in here today just being like, yeah, 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 well, the faith switch is off. In fact, at that point, it sounds like the faith switch is broken. And you need a touch from God. You need God to totally restore you. And just humble yourself and just say, Lord, that's me. I know, and I need a radical touch tonight. And let the fire of God come and do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, and I believe it's the book of Galatians. It says that the flesh and the Spirit will constantly war after another. See, and you have to understand that the realm of the flesh is that comfort zone. It's that realm of comfort. So guess what? If you're serving God and if you're on fire for God and if you're pleasing God in all that you do, chances are you need to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Get used to that feeling of walking on the water. Get used to that feeling of trusting God. Get used to that feeling of being like, oh, Lord, I need you now. And if you don't know that feeling, I'm telling you, obey what God's telling you to do. Because when you walk with God, that's how it is. It's always like that. It's always like that. But that's the realm, that's the miracle realm. That's when you step over into that realm of miracles, of watching God starting to provide for every single one of your needs. But your flesh is going to want to say, cool it down, calm it down, stop it, cool it, chill. And I heard over Tara for 30 seconds the other night in youth. And she said, you don't just need more television. You don't just need more sitting down and relaxing, because that's what your flesh is telling you that you need. But really, it's in those moments when you're like, that's what you need to do. It's in that realm where you feel like you're going to explode just because of life and whatever's happening, that you need the breakthrough. Well, that's where you need to press in that much more. You just need to step over into that realm. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be comfortable. But just understand that that's okay and that's good, and we're not running this race for our earthly reward. We're running this race for heavenly gain. And man, I would say a majority of our soul winners that come out with us are, although they only look like they're 25 or 30 years old, a majority of them are 55 plus. Because I think almost one of them, she only looks like she's about 27 or 28, but she comes out. I think she's still only around 40 or so. But the thing is they've gotten to the point where they bought the t-shirt, got the factory, you know, sold it all, owned it, and they're like, man, this thing's really just about souls. So let me encourage my generation, put down the things of the world. And I'm not saying drink and smoke and yada. I'm saying, dude, just don't worry about the house and the cars and the mortgage payment and the car payments. Don't worry about having the nicest this, the newest that. Work on getting out of debt and just serving God with your whole life. Because I'm telling you, the point in time is coming in America where the financial systems of this world will fail, that even no matter how much credit you have, dude, get ready for when the banks aren't giving money. Okay, oh, you don't think it happens? 2004, Argentina. I mean, I could just sit here and just, you know, some people just don't know what they don't know. They didn't open up the banks. You couldn't even get any money from it. Well, what about then when you just need to be able to trust God for every single one of your needs? So get out into that realm right now. Oh my gosh, I could go on, man. And I believe that the Lord has something special for you guys tonight. And I'm going to pass this off to... Oh, man, I mean, it's just all about obeying. Pastor Bob said, take 5 minutes and just tell us why, you know, why Sarah and I are here. You know, and it's just obedience. God requires obedience more than sacrifice. A lot of times obedience comes with sacrifice. Hello. It is. It's all about souls. It's all about souls. See, we understand that our life is but a vapor. See, our life is but a vapor. That it's all about souls. It's all about winning the lost at any cost. It's all about populating heaven and plundering hell. It's all about awakening up a sleep church that doesn't realize that 95% of the corn that's being fed to you is genetically modified and it's causing cancer in your body. It's about telling you about people like Edward Snowden, who worked for the NSA and is a whistleblower and is exposing all of the government industry right now. It's about activating the people in the body of Christ to realize that the dark night is soon coming and you need to stand up and be a light in the world. I'm telling you, if I just started to share with you some of the things that the Lord has showed us about what's happening in this wicked, 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 wicked world. Man, John 9:4 says we must do the works of him who sent us while it is still day, for the night cometh which no man works. You got to understand the night is coming. And right after that, the verse says that as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But the problem is everywhere you go, the light is being shut out. You go into the schools and the light is being shut out. You go into the government and the light is being shut out. You go into the Food and Drug Administration, the light is being shut out. You go into churches and the light is being shut out. And you say, we have to do the works of him who sent us while it is still day. Well, as the light continues to get pushed out, the darkness of the night continues to come greater and greater. But the thing is that this is when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And that this is when the miracle working power of God is going to be more and more evident than it has ever been before. And God is raising up a generation of history makers in this place. God is raising up a group of firebrands that are going to run with the fire of God. God is raising up a bunch of Holy Ghost green berets that are going to blaze this country one more time. One more time. And then the curtain shut. And then night comes. And then we're all up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we get to cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And souls are the gems. They're the jewels. It's the work that's going to be tested by fire. It's not the wood, hay, and the stubble. It's the gold, the precious stones, and the gems. You guys are precious gems. And you know what? There's over 750,000 other precious gems in the city of Fort Worth. Man, and I'm here to collect as many gems as I can, so I can honor the Lord Jesus with them. And I encourage you guys, collect some gems. Collect some souls. Collect some people, because there's a day that they're going to be jewels on your crown and you're going to be able to lay it at the Lord's feet. And you only get one opportunity to run this race. There's no act two, act three. There's no restart. There's no redo. We get one opportunity to live this life for Jesus. And my wife and I have just decided, we're going to smack this thing. So come for the ride. I'm telling you, this thing's been awesome. So God bless everybody. God bless America. God bless Pastor Bob. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word, Lord. And even just this short time, I believe that you've done a deep work in the hearts of the people, Father God. Your word says in Hebrews 4:12 that your word is like a double-edged sword. It pierces and divides the soul from the spirit, the bone from the marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, and I believe that even over these few short moments that we had to share your word, that the incorruptible seed of the word of God was placed in the hearts of people. That by the knife of God, we were able to circumcise the hearts of man today. And I thank you, Lord, from this point forward, that there'll be lives that are never, ever, 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 ever the same again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Give the Lord a round of applause. I mean, this is all the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There you go, bro. Have fun.
That was good. Man, and you know it's real, because that's Troy all the time. And just like he said, you know, you can look at me now, and obviously God didn't make me quite as tall and handsome as Troy, but, you know, God's given him a special gift, and it's awesome. God's given me a revelation. I don't have to be Troy. Right? I can be me. God's called me to be me, just like God's called you to be you and do whatever it is that he has for you. Man, anytime I get an opportunity to speak, it's always such a privilege, and I don't take it lightly. I always tell my kids that in the junior high as well. It's the same thing, and you know, it's such an awesome responsibility to be able to share. And I'm just going to throw one scripture out, and then I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart for a few minutes. But I mean, everybody knows the scripture, but Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says to go into all the world. All the world. Now, a lot of people, they think, okay, well, that's missionaries. You know, we're going to send them our checks, and they're going to go do the work, because it's all the world, right? It's all out there. And, man, people forget that all the world is the gas station down the street and Butler and all these places that we go now. You know, people get so caught up in where all the world is. Fine. I want to read it in its totality. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole to all creation. Whoever believes in this is baptized will be saved." The gospel, the good news, the good news. We have the good news. How many of you have the good news in here tonight? The person next door, all the world. That's Tuesday through Friday at 2, and that's Saturdays at 10. That's all the world. That's all the world. Some of you may get on a plane one day, and you may be fortunate enough to go to another country and work in orphanages and do, you know, like I've been fortunate enough to do a few of those things. But man, we can't get caught up in that. We can't get caught up in like, well, whenever God sends me, whenever, you know, like whenever God opens this door, man, the door is here. The opportunity is here. Man, all the people that witness, I mean, Sherry and Barry, y'all are here, right? I saw y'all a second ago. Sherry and Barry and Troy, I know, and Dan, they go out probably more than anybody, and they are the nicest, happiest people in this church. I mean, it's not a coincidence, you know? Like, I mean, it's flowing. It's what they do. And man, every time you witness, God does something. I went out just the other day. I went up to Troy. He told me so many people have walked up to him and been like, "Man, I'm sorry, man. I need to get," and because you get convicted when you're around those people who are making it happen. You know that you could be doing it. I've made a new commitment to do it once a week. Now, here's the deal. I work for a roofing company. I work for a mowing company. I work for a water installation, water purification company. I help him whenever he needs me, and I do the junior high. I have a lot of stuff going on. And then how everybody in here knows I love sports and things like that. I have a lot of stuff, right? And I can't remember who was it that said it. They said, "You'll never find time. You have to make time." And that, man, I'm telling you, if I can do it, if I can find one day a week, you can find one day a week. And man, you know, the other day when I went, the one day I happened to go, I didn't feel like going. I didn't. I was like, I'm tired. I have this. I'm hungry. It's hot. I don't have air conditioning already in my car. And now I'm going to get out, you know, but oh my gosh, man, as soon as you get out there, telling you every single time I've ever witnessed to someone, something has happened. Something has happened. There's one in particular. It's so amazing. Some of you say, "I don't have that desire." Minister to one person. Just one person. Just try it one time. And man, sometimes people will, you know, shut you up, or, you know, they may tell you you're number one or whatever it is. You know, they may reject you. But man, I'm telling you, I remember I was with David King. David King used to take me downtown, and we would just go witness after youth and different things like that. We'd just walk up, and you know, I was like 13, 14 years old. I'm jumping off the walls anyways, and Dave's like trying to like, you know, get into this person. I'm like, yeah, and I'm, you know, running over here. What's that? But man, I remember we talked to this one guy, and man, it's amazing how lost people are. You would think, well, we're in this area. There's churches on every corner. People know. And man, this guy talked to me, and he told me, he was dead serious. So he said, "I believe that all of this is just in my mind." And he's dead serious too, man. He's like, "I just believe that, you know, like you, I've created you in my mind." And man, you know, at first it was funny. And then I sat there and I thought for a minute. I was like, man, this guy is so lost. Like, and it broke, I mean, again, 14, 15 years old, I'm a cool kid or whatever, right? I'm downtown, and man, right in front of him, God just broke my heart. He broke my heart for the lost. And man, every single time that I've ever witnessed to anyone, God has broken my heart. And he gives you that desire. Some of you, I mean, I know that some of you aren't all outgoing. I know me and my little brother Nick, we're the kind of people, we've never met a stranger. We'll talk to anyone and things like that. And so some of you are like, well, I don't know. Man, when you step out and you realize that it's not Robbie presenting the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit. When you see the people that get convicted, is it Noel that goes out? I was just sitting there watching Noel talk to somebody. And man, I got fired up. Because you can just see it, man. You can just see it's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ. And it's, man, I've got so many things. I don't know, I'm trying to keep the small amount of time I have, but man, When you see that, when you realize that it's not you, when you realize it's the Holy Spirit and he's going to minister, and if they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the word. They're rejecting, and that's not it. So don't get discouraged. Anyways, I was able to lead a guy just the other day when we went out. I prayed with six different people, but one in particular really just got a hold of me, man. Because he was under the persuasion of, well, you know, man, you don't know what I've done, you know. And what was that, Cavill that we were at? Is that the name of that? We're over in Cavill, and I just walked up and said, hey, man, you know, and it's so easy, and it's so awesome, too. The script, guys, the script works. The script works. A lot of people think that's so corny. I saw Noelle do it. I like this. She started reading it, and then she turned, and she let the person, she was like, hey, you know, look, read along with it. And it's just like if you were showing them the Bible. So it's not like, my name is Susie, and I'm with Girl Scout number 40. You know, it's not that. It's, hey, here's some awesome information. I want to share this with you. And when they can get in there and then they get plugged in and they're reading it, they're like, man, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I saw her do that a couple of times, and I thought that was awesome. I haven't used that approach. But for this particular one, God was just like, just talk to him out of your heart. And so, yeah, I said, you know, has anybody ever told you God loves you, had a great plan for your life? I said, oh, yeah, man, I've heard that before. I said, if you were to die right now, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? And he's like, I don't know, man. I really don't know, you know? And I was just kind of like, dude, you can know. And he was like, man, I don't know, man. I've done some, you know, and he didn't fully say it, but he was like getting ready to say like, man, I've done some stuff. And man, I was just like, bro, it's like, that's what's so awesome. You have no idea what I've done, man. Like, you have no idea what Troy's life was before this. You have no idea what any of these people, what their life was. And I was like, man, you know what's so awesome? It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you just sold a, you know, a huge thing of hair, you know, drugs and this and that. It does not matter. And man, his eyes just lit up and he was like, hey, what? Like, I've never heard of this before. Because man, people, I'm telling you, this church is doing it backwards. It's a totally different thing. Everybody else, we're up in our church. Everything's nice here. If people come in to visit, we're going to make them feel special. But the going out and the saying like, hey, God loves you. God loves you. You know, like the whole outreach thing, man, I'm telling you, it's backwards. And it gets people stirred up. You look at all the people that have left or whatever else. There was a man in the New Testament who did things a little bit differently. Right? How much work did Jesus do in the church or in the synagogue? You know what I mean? He came in and flipped some tables once, you know? But I mean, you know, you think about this. Everywhere he went, he had compassion on people. And when he would pray for people or heal them, whatever, not once did he ever, hey, you need to stop doing that. You know, he didn't do that. He walked up and he was like, hey, man, I love you. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. We all know that. But man, when you grab a hold of that revelation of coming out of God's love, when you minister to people out of that, man, I'm telling you, it's so backwards. So many people, so many churches, they're so enclosed. Like, let's get into our brand new building. Let's turn on the smoke machines. And man, we're gonna get this new word, you know. And man, and right there in the word, it says to go out. You know, I'm like, how deep do you have to dig to see that the last thing that Jesus told you was to go into all the world? The last thing he said, my granddad, we were talking about this the other day, and then he said it in a service. The last thing, like, how many of you have had a loved one go on to be with Jesus? Sure. Everyone, right? And those last moments that you have, you're all sitting around and you're just clinging like, hey, man, what do you have to say? You know, it's those last minutes like, hey, you know, let's say we just didn't get along, whatever. Like, I just want you to know this. You know, it's those last moments when you have this little bit of time where you can share sometimes some of the most important information. And what's the last thing he said to him? Go into all the world. Go. Go. Man. The only people who had a problem with Jesus were the people who were religious. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, it's not that they were terrible people. You know, they knew the word. They studied the word. They upheld the law, and it was like, yes, 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 this is what, and there's nothing wrong with that. But man, the moment things got flipped, like, whoa, 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 what do you mean we're going to bust in inner city people? Whoa, 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 what do you mean I have to give up my Saturday morning? Whoa, 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 what do you mean I have to give up my 2 o'clock? You know, I'm telling you, When you get that attitude, man, oh, man, I need about 45 more minutes. I won't take it. Okay, one last thing. Some of you say, I'm not an outgoing person, and that's fine. I do not have that problem. I never have. There's actually one of my teachers here. She could tell you that. I don't know if I ever stopped talking in one of her classes. But that was a common theme. For some of you, you go out witnessing. Some of you, I'm busy. I do this and do that. How many of you live in the Fort Worth area, DFW, whatever, in this area? Okay. How many of you in the last month have had at least one person walk up and ask you for gas, for money, for a meal, or anything like that? I have it happen like 3 times a week. And man, I tell you what, if there's any possible way that I can do it, I do it. I don't give money. That's just my thing. If they need gas, I'll buy them gas. If they need food, I'll buy them a meal. But man, if you'll do that and you hand it to them, door opened. And you got to think about this. This is people approaching you. So it's not like, well, I can't go knock on a door. That's kind of weird. Man, just set it in your mind. Okay, you know what? The next person that comes up and asks me for this, I'm going to give it to them, and I'm going to give them something else, you know? I'm going to give them some truth. I'm going to give them the real food, the real bread, right? I'm telling you, some of you think, oh, I don't have opportunities. I don't have this. Man, there are opportunities everywhere. When you go through the drive-thru, my granddad talks about, if somebody has a headache that's bad enough, they'll let you lay hands on them. They'll let you pray for them. Whether they've been to church that last Sunday or if it's been 10 years, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, just asking people, hey, how's it going? I'm doing all right. Just all right. Man, and right there, just all right. Do you know that God loves you? That's great. I mean, there are so many avenues, and it's insane how many opportunities you have. So unless you are locking yourself in your house and you're not going anywhere at all, you have opportunities. And even then, I heard about Troy. Somebody called him and had a wrong number. He was in his house. Somebody called him on his cell or whatever, and he hung up and he said, wait a second, I'm going to call that person back. Man, telemarketers, they call and drive you nuts. Why don't you just give them something? I'm telling you, man, the point is, this is no condemnation because, I've gone out maybe 2 or 3 times since September with them. Now, I witness still whenever I can, but I have not made it a point like I needed to say, you know what, I'm going to set aside some time to do this. So this is not a condemning word. This is to encourage you. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to start now. And just like me, I'm making a change. You can do that. And I'm telling you, phone calls, random conversations, you go into Starbucks, buying your $4 coffee or whatever. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, God gives you opportunities. God brings, things don't just happen because of whatever, They don't. Man, God will. It is crazy some of the people that you'll run into, that you won't what are the chances of me being right here at this moment? Yeah, I'm telling you, man, God sets up opportunities. And tonight, man, we heard about from Troy, being led by the Spirit, and that, man, whoo, that's where it comes in. This is just a little bit of personal, where I've been, where I'm coming from, and just some experiences. But man, what it ties into is what Troy was talking about. When you are led by the Spirit, and being led by the Spirit, we have to become familiar with His voice. And I talked to my kids about this. I challenged them actually about being a witness. A witness is actually someone who with firsthand knowledge or understanding of something. Firsthand knowledge or understanding. How many of you are in here are saved? So you have firsthand knowledge or understanding. So you're a witness. You're a witness. If you saw a crime, you'd be a witness, right? Would you just? Oh, I don't really want to get up in front of those people. Like, no. If you saw that, you would. You would say. And I've used the example. If you had the cure, if there was a sickness that came and everyone was going to die on the planet, and you knew you had the cure for it, don't tell me that you'd be like, well, what if they think I'm weird? Like, well, what? I'd go tell them, but. I kind of want to go see this new movie that's coming out. I'm telling you, man, you have that. You understand that, right? You have that.
Because there's a sickness, it's called sin, and everyone is dying of it, and everyone is going to go to hell unless we give them the good news. Telling you. Oh, okay, I think that's probably all the time, right? I've used, probably gone over. Me and Troy have that overflow spirit, praise God. Anyways, you know what? You know, last thing I'll say, I'm going to be doing it once a week. At least once a week. That's what I have said in my heart. Is there anybody in here that say, you know what, Robbie, I want to try to do it. And here's the deal. Maybe those times don't line up for you. But the other thing, if there's another day I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I heard Troy talk about this. He says he won't lay his head down on the pillow until he's at least witnessed to one person. So whether you can meet it 2 or 10, that's the goal. That's what we want to do because we want to be able to go out and be an effective team. But let's say, you know, Robbie, I'll either do once a week or I'm going to set in my heart that I'm going to find someone. And man, you don't have to do a 20-minute message. You don't have to, and man, it's not your job to persuade them. It's not your job to argue. It's not your job to do any of that. All we need to do is present the love of God and let them know, hey, you know what? There's a better way to live. There's a better way to live. Because everywhere they go, they're hearing, you're not good enough. You're not tall enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not rich enough. You're not cool enough. You don't have the nicest clothes. Whatever. That's what they're told everywhere they go. And man, what they need is this right here. So like I said, whether you do the full on, I'm going to get you saved. I'm going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're going to come to church with me on Sunday. I'm picking you up. Whether it's that or, hey, you know what? I just want you to know that God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. Because, man, sometimes that's all it is. It's planting a seed. It's not, again, not your job. It's not your job to water that seed and make, you know, it's our job to plant that seed. God is going to take care of that. God's going to take care of that. Okay, I'm done. Sorry. Dan. Let's give it up for Dan. Sorry, I went way too long.
I love it. Praise God. When you get full, you want to spill out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Awesome.
You know, I read a quote the other day that just really blessed me, and I could relate to it. It said that if the back of your pants are wearing out before the soles of your shoes, then you're working in the wrong place. And as a Christian, I've experienced that. Sometimes we like to sit. We don't like to go ye. And I tell you, I know Robbie and probably Troy, and I've known Robbie since he was a kid, and he did like to talk a lot. And I'm sure probably Troy is the same way. I honestly was a very shy person as a child. And at one point, I was so scared to even order a pizza on the phone. My mother would make me do it. She would make me, and I was scared. I thought, what if I don't know what to say? And I just let my dad do all the talking. He was the preacher. He was the one that was the one that had never met a stranger. And I always let him do all the talking. So if you're saying, well, I'm not like those guys, then hey, trust me, you can be. You can be like those guys because God will change you. God can break the fear of man off of you. He can actually change you. And you say, well, that's just my personality. I'm a quiet person. I'm telling you, I've never known a person that got filled with the Holy Ghost that was a quiet person. I mean, they may be quiet for extended periods of time, but when the time comes to preach the gospel, they just light up. It's like you plug the power of God in them and they just explode. And so God, when he comes on you, there's no telling what you'll do. Okay. So just trust that. I also want to tell you about Super Soul Winning Saturday. June 29th at 10 a.m., we are going to have a Super Soul Winning Saturday where we're expecting everyone that can possibly be there to be there. I'm talking staff, people are getting on board. I mean, the whole church staff is locked in and we're all working together on this. It's going to be exciting to see how many people we can get out that day. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. And that's Saturday, June 29th at 10 a.m. Of course, be coming out in the meantime and gear yourself up for that. If you don't want that to be your first time to go out soul winning, come out before then too. But, you know, we're talking about what you have to sacrifice for the Lord. And really, if you think about it, anything you have to sacrifice is nothing compared to people in the Bible. How many people in the Bible did you read where they were in a situation where it was, help me God or I'm dead? Not help me God because it's hot. Or help me God because it's going to cost me a few bucks. Or man, this is gas we're talking about. I'm going to have to spend to go. Not like that. Not this is inconvenient. Not this is uncomfortable. I'm talking Paul. Think about this. He said, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. Yeah. He is crucified with Christ. Esther put her life on the line. Her life, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, help me, God, or I'm dead. David, he killed a lion, killed a bear, killed Goliath. He got God super on his natural, became supernatural. But how many times was his life in danger? Daniel in the lion's den. You know that story. Abraham, how the Bible said, though he was dead, his body was dead, yet he conceived. Hallelujah. He went and rescued Lot, who was in trouble and was in peril. Elijah, the birds fed him when nobody else was there with food. A woman with one can of food fed him for many days. He was saying, help me, God, or I'm dead. I'm starving. Elisha, an army came against him and his servant in 2 Kings 6:18. Gideon, 300 men against an innumerable army. Gideon was the least of his family, the least likely to succeed. He had nothing going for him, and that's why God picked him. So if you've got nothing going for you tonight, then you're the one I'm talking to especially and specifically. If you say, there's no way I could do that, perfect. Come on. Watch what God does. God did it for Gideon. Help me, God, or I'm dead. Jacob was running from Esau. And then the famine when Joseph became the ruler. Remember how that was a famine that was basically life-changing. And they needed help. God, help us or we're dead. They went to Egypt. Who knew that now their little brother is all of a sudden the second in command? Wow, what an awesome situation. Man, we're talking real life here. You got to put yourself in these situations and think, have I ever been in a situation where I say, God, help me or I'm literally dead? We're just asking you to go out and just talk to somebody. Man, praise God. Don't be scared. Joshua and Caleb, God kept them alive and strong. They were, man, we've got some folks, we got some Joshua and some Calebs that are taking their mountain. It's awesome to see some Joshua and some Calebs going out soul winning, and they're doing stuff that young people are getting tired because God's anointing them to do that. They've got that fighting spirit. It's awesome. Nehemiah, the governor of Jerusalem, he rebuilt the walls that they had left destroyed. They fought with one hand and built with the other. Some people are, I'm too busy. Man, I've got a wall to rebuild. I'm too busy to lead people to the Lord. But yet, they had to, in those days, rebuild the wall with one hand and fight with the other. I mean, could you imagine? That's like I'm working and soul winning at the same time. Hallelujah. That was Nehemiah. Noah in the ark. God help us or I'm dead. Jonah and the whale. Samson, 1,000 men against one. The woman with the issue of blood. If she didn't get healed, she was dead. The widow of Nain. Her son said, help me God because I am dead. He was dead, but he was risen from the dead. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, whatever your excuse is, unless you're dead, even if you're dead, you have no excuse. Come on, soul winning. Get resurrected. Come on. Hallelujah. What's the deal? If you're dead, we'll come resurrect you and you go soul winning with us. How about that? But one thing I want to talk to you real quickly, and my wife's going to throw a shoe at me as soon as my time is up, so I promise I'm not going to go over. But I want to talk to you about some things that have helped me to communicate the gospel in a more effective way. First of all, the word koinonia. God just gave me a revelation of that word koinonia. If you need to do a word study on it sometime, it's a whole other message. But the basic idea of it is camaraderie, it's fellowship, it's togetherness, it's fun. And I like fun. Christy, I know you like fun too. And I know, Mike, I know you like fun because I've been fishing with you. And I'm telling you, it's fun when you got a stringer full of fish and you're swimming across to an island, you know, or coming back from it with a load of fish. It's awesome. And none of us are complaining about the heat, even though it's hot. We're loving it because we're catching fish. When you're catching fish, everything's fine. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, there's such a fun that's involved as we go out. Some of the most awesome times we have is in the truck on the way there or on the way back telling testimonies or hanging out with Barry and Sherry or whatever. And we've become friends and God's put people together in our lives that we didn't have before. We go golf. I never golfed really much before. Jason taught me how to golf a long time ago. I'd golfed maybe a couple times, but now I'm getting into it because Troy and Barry are always saying, hey, let's go. And so we'll go soul winning and we'll go golf. It's not like you can't have any fun anymore. And you're thinking, oh man, now I'm going to be a soul winner and just have to work the rest of my life as a slave. I'm telling you, you can have fun. Man, the kingdom of God is a party. Amen. Hallelujah. It's awesome. And think about this. Jesus is coming soon. And there really is no better thing you could be doing than winning souls when Jesus returns. I'm telling you. He is coming soon. The signs of the times are amazing. I got an advertisement the other day. Somebody emailed me this. It was a technology. Samsung is coming out with a new phone that will read electronic tattoos and unlock your phone. It's amazing that the technology that is out there is in times-ish. Totally. It's an electronic tattoo they can just put on you if you want to unlock your phone. And who doesn't have a cell phone now? The government's make sure everybody has a cell phone. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, you can unlock your phone with that. Beep. It's done. We didn't have that much. I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't have that. And that wasn't that long. I'm a young whippersnapper. But praise God, things are speeding up. Things are speeding up, and we're getting so close to the end. And I'm telling you, I was out soul winning just a couple of months ago. And as I was out soul winning, this is Father's Day, and I'm telling you, my heart's a little sensitive right now because my father just passed away just a couple of months ago. And I was out soul winning when I got the call. And when I was out, I had just led a bunch of people to the Lord, and I was so pumped and so excited, and the phone rings, and I normally don't answer it, but I saw it was my sister, and I picked it up, and I said, hello, and she was crying on the other end. She said, I want to let you know that Dad just passed away. And I said, woo, praise God. Woo, it's one of those laughing and crying at the same time. And I said, God, thank you, Jesus. What better place could I be than right here leading people to the Lord when I got that call and say, Dad, I'm sending some more up there. I'm sending some more. Tell my dad I said hi when you get there. Praise God. We're plundering hell. We're populating heaven. And I'm telling you, it's awesome. There's nothing better. What better place to be? And I remember calling my dad and saying, Dad, do you want me to come? Because they said he may go, and I was able to talk to him beforehand. He said, no, stay there. Do what you're doing. What you're doing is important. It's all about souls. Keep doing it. And man, those were some of the last words that he spoke to me was keep doing it. It's all about souls. And I'm telling you, man, that touched me. And so God has helped me. He's changed my attitude. Some people just need to change your attitude. I know I did. Your attitude equals your altitude. I learned that from Barry Moulton. Whatever you want me to do, he would say, as we're going out soul winning, whatever you want me to do. And I'm thinking, man, what an awesome, man, that inspires me. I just want to pick up a sword and a banner and just charge the enemy. And just say, come on, because there's Barry right ahead of me charging him. Hallelujah. Come on. Spark off somebody else's faith. Change your attitude. Trust that the Lord is going to show up and the Lord's going to raise up more laborers. Attitude is important. Humility is important and important. You can learn from a little child. You have to humble yourself to go out. I know how it is. It's really pride that keeps you from going out. When you're scared and you're fearful, really what it is, it's a fear of man, but it's a pride of how am I going to look. You've got to break the pride in your life. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If you can humble yourself as a little child and just read the script to somebody. We were going out soul winning, and I noticed little kids leading more people to the Lord than I was. And I thought, how is this possible? Is it just because they're cute? And so I started following them around. I remember in the Great Awakening tour in 2007. I had been doing this before. We were at Good News Shreveport back years ago. We went out and led people to the Lord in Shreveport, and I had a taste of it, but it never really longed. And some people say, yeah, we've done that before. But I'm telling you, there's something different about this time and this season. It's important. It's on the Lord's heart. I believe it's because he's coming back very soon. And this could be the end time harvest, the last great push before his return. But anyway, I've done it before, but I started following these kids around. There was a family called the Pewter family. I don't know if you know the Pewters. They were here for the Great Awakening tour in 2007, and I was driving these little girls around, and we were leading people to the Lord, and I was watching them saying, wow, well, all they're doing is reading the script. I would try to freelance it. I'm just trying to, hey, and then I would just kind of put the script down and be like, hey, my name is Dan. I'm going to reach you with Dan. And I'm telling you, Dan ain't got nothing. Jesus has got everything. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't lead them to the Lord. And I thought, wait a second, what did I do that was wrong? Or even one little word that I would get, I would say, can I pray for you? And they would say, oh, no, that's okay, thank you. Boom, and the door would shut. And I said, man, this thing doesn't work. Oh, wait, no, it says, I'm going to pray for you. I learned something. You could learn that if you're in sales. Man, the script is a salesperson's dream. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, okay. And then let me pray for you. And then you got them. And I'm telling you, read the script. We can teach you. It'll help you. You'll love it. But it takes humility sometimes. And I've seen pastors come in and humble themselves to learn from guys like us, you know, and say, show me what you're doing. And I'm telling you, any fisherman that likes to fish will go to anybody if they're catching fish, won't you, Mike, and say, show me what you're doing. I don't care if you're a little kid. What are you fishing with? Show me, how are you catching those fish? What are you doing? I'm not too prideful to learn from a little kid that's catching fish. Praise God. So you got to humble yourself. Number three, endurance. Don't let anything stop you. Rain, snow, sleet, or hail. Okay, watch out for hail. That's serious in Texas. You know how that is. 1995, that hailstorm. You do got to watch out for hail. But I'm telling you, if the mail is that important, how much more is the gospel important? Come on. It's the word of God. It's the message that he wants us to get out. Get in shape physically and spiritually. You need some endurance. And I'm telling you, it's been neat to see people that have been coming in that maybe didn't take care of themselves like they used to, but as they're going out soul winning, they've got a purpose. Man, I've got to go out soul winning. I need to start working out. I've seen some people that are losing some weight. I see some people, God's changing their personality. They're becoming more bold. They're taking better care of themselves. And I'm thinking, man, that's awesome. I know I'm changing my eating habits because I'm thinking, man, I can't go out soul winning like this if I'm tired because I just ate a big old cheeseburger and I'm just like, oh, man, I barely made it up the steps. I'm telling you, when your soul went in, it gets you in shape. You need some endurance, and God will put that in you. Another thing, you got to blast fear right out. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I like the words of John Wayne. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Hallelujah. I don't normally quote John Wayne, but I think that's a good one. Courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. If you got to do it scared, do it scared. So many people have come to me and said, I'm so scared. I'm thinking, man, every one of us have been the same way. Don't think you're the only one. Every one of us have been scared when we first started. Sometimes, even every time we go out, sometimes people are still scared. But you do it anyway, and that fear drops. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. You show up. If you can just walk in there and let that spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind get on you, boom. Watch, things will change. Blast fear. Get it out of there. Don't worry about rejection. It's a trick of the enemy. Trust the Holy Ghost will follow up on people. I've had people tell me, what you're doing is wrong. I'm thinking, what? How could this be wrong? Well, you're leading people to the Lord. You're birthing these babies, and you're just leaving them out there, and no one's following up on these babies. And I'm like, you're kidding. Come on. What are you talking about? First of all, didn't Philip and the... when he went and ministered to the Ethiopian, didn't God just take him up? Boom. God did that. Not even Philip. God said, he's born again. You're done. Boom. I'll take it from here. God does that. God says, they're born again. I'll take it from here. But for those of you that do have a problem with following up and say, well, no, that's got to happen. We are. The cool thing about going out is we're coming back. We're having Bible studies in their communities. We're going back with a bus and picking them up and bringing them to church. We're getting their phone number. We're calling them every Saturday. We have a phone team. I've never seen such good follow-up of any outreach in any ministry ever. I'm telling you, God is good. So, one other... actually, two quick things, and I'm done. There cannot be any racism in your heart and win the full harvest. There cannot be any racism in your heart and win the full harvest. Joel 2:32, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's in the Old Testament. Then again, in Acts 2:21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, not may be saved, but shall be saved. Again, Romans 10:12, it says, no matter if that person is a Jew or a Gentile, there's only one Lord, and he is generous to everyone who asks for help. All who call in the name of the Lord will be saved. All means all. So praise God. And then verse 14, how can people have faith in the Lord and ask him to save them if they've never heard about him? How can they hear unless someone tells them? And how can anyone tell them without being sent by the Lord? The scriptures say it's a beautiful sight to see even the feet of someone coming to preach the good news. Yet, not everyone has believed the message. For example, the prophet Isaiah asked, Lord, has anyone believed what we said? And no one can have faith. Verse 17, no one can have faith without hearing the message about Christ. And the very last point here, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Robbie referred to that earlier. Go ye into all all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. I got a hold of that, and it changed the way I soul win. I win people to the Lord. Because I used to go around and pick and choose and say, well, that person looks nice. That person doesn't look so nice. That person looks like they could not beat me up. That person looks like they could beat me up. I think I'm going to go to the one that could not beat me up. And I found out they were the ones that beat me up. You know what I'm saying? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We were out one day soul winning, and I look up and I see, as we walk up to these apartments, I see this big old huge bear of a guy, full beard. And I mean, he had these sunglasses on, and he come out and he's hanging over the second floor there. And he looks down at us and he puts his sunglasses down like this and just glares. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to go lead these people to the Lord over here. I feel led to come over this side of the apartment complex and lead these people. And as I start to walk away, I hear him say, Dan Kraft. I said, he knows my name. And I come back, and he takes off the sunglasses, and I just saw for a second the little boy in his face of this big old bear. It was a kid I used to minister in junior high. Hey, how's it going? I came up. He picked me up off the ground and gave me a big old hug. Here, this dude I was afraid of. Every creature, don't pick and choose. Just go and start reading the script. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how big or how little. What? I don't care. I'm going to read this to you. And you're going to get born again, okay? Awesome. Praise God. Let's do it. We had a little girl, she went in her school. You know the testimony. She went in her school and the teacher said, oh, honey, you can't do that here. She said, yes, we can, because the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The teacher said, oh, okay. And she prayed with and received Jesus in her heart. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There may be people here tonight that maybe you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I tell you, one of the coolest things about going out, a lot of times people get touched and change themselves. I had a lady that her very first time, and she's been going to this church for quite some time. The very first time she went out with us, she came to me afterwards. And she's walking up to me very serious, and she said, Dan, I'm concerned. And I thought, uh-oh, what happened? I was ready for it. What happened? And we always keep people together. We use wisdom. So I was thinking, what could have happened? And she said, I'm concerned because I think I just got saved. And I said, really? I said, really? And she's been going here for some time. She said, I'm concerned because I always thought I was saved. And I said, you know what? Did you feel something? She said, I felt something as I was doing this I'd never felt before. God changed my heart as I was reading this script to people. And she was changed. She got filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in tongues for the first time while she's leading other people to the Lord. And I'm telling you, there are people in churches, even this church, that maybe you're not assured of your salvation. You don't know. If you died, you don't know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in that. The shame is not making sure when you know you can. Again, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, not may be saved. But you can have the assurance of your salvation. And if you've been, you may have gone here for years and you're not sure. Or maybe you've been away from God. Maybe you're seeing some other people that are getting stirred up and you're seeing some fire and you're saying, man, I want that. Man, God can do that for you. He can stir a fire. He can stir a passion on the inside of you. Hallelujah. He can do a new thing on the inside of you. Maybe you're here and Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You know you would go to heaven, but you know there's been attitudes or things in your heart that are just not right with God. And God's been speaking to you and you've been disobedient, or maybe you're just away from God. Maybe the things of this world have become greater than the things of God in your life. I'm telling you, we got the cure. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. And it starts with a choice. You have to choose and you have to humble yourself. And I'm telling you, you can't give what you don't have. And as you start to give, God gives it to you. And he says, here, I want to give you this so that you can take it to other people. And God wants to do a work in you so that he can do a work through you. God wants to change your life tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to just ask yourself tonight, Lord, am I living my life the way I should? Maybe you say, yeah, I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. But let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being red hot on fire for God, where you're going out leading other people to the Lord. I mean, you are a soul winning machine yourself. And that's being 5. Where would you say you are right now in your walk with the Lord? If you're anything less than a 5, you need to change. You need to say, God, change me. Lord, help me. And God will. But you got to call on Him. Just like you did when you were born again, you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. You got to call on the Lord and say, Lord, keep me. Because He said He would. He is able to keep you. You got to just keep calling out to Him. Call out to Him. Say, God, change me. Lord, set me on fire. Let me not backslide. I like what Pastor's been saying lately. We're not of those who draw back unto perdition, y'all. We're talking drawing back into perdition. That's not us. That's not you. Don't draw back into perdition. Hallelujah. That's hell. And God doesn't want you living in hell on earth. He wants you to have heaven on earth. You can. If you're here tonight and you need prayer, I want to pray for you for any one of those invitations. Maybe to make sure that you're born again. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart. Maybe you've never been born again. And tonight, just the revelation of that has hit you. And you're saying, you know what? I don't know if I've ever actually become born again. I don't know if I've ever gone forward and publicly professed my faith in Christ. I'm talking to you. Or maybe you're not the 5 that you once were. You said, you know, I used to be on fire for God like that. I remember when I used to lead people to the Lord like that. I remember when I used to do those things. God's saying, return to those first works and watch that fire flame up in your life again. If you're here tonight, you need prayer for any one of those invitations. I want you right now, just lift your hand. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. Just lift it up high and I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Hallelujah. Just lift it up high. Say, pray for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. I see that hand. Again, pride has to be the first thing that goes. Pride has to go. And you just have to lay down your pride and say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a change. Don't expect things to change if you're not willing to change. Make a choice to change. Things change by choices. And as you make that choice for righteousness, I'm telling you, you'll change. Anyone else, just lift your hand quickly. Say, pray for me. I want the assurance of my salvation. I want to be on fire for God like I once was. Or maybe you just want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let me see your hand. Wave it at me. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you feel that in your heart, you know it's you. I just sense there's someone else here. There's someone else here. And you say, you know what? That's me. Just lift your hand right now. Hallelujah. Just lift it. Say, pray for me. I want that fire. I want that fire. Hallelujah. Ko rabaga sitikiasi. Ki brabonongo sitikiasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone in this section, just look at me right here real quick. Everyone in this section, if you know you need to lift your hand, I want you to just look at me right now. And if you can't look at me, then you know that's you. Hallelujah. But everyone in this section, just if that was you and you say, you know what, pray for me, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Okay? Hallelujah. All right, how about this section right here? Anyone here in this section, if that's you and you say, you know what? That's me. I want that in my life. Just lift your hand, wave it at me. Say, hey, pray for me. I really do. Just look at me. If you can't look at me again, there's something in your heart. You know it's you. Hallelujah. All right. Anyone in this section? Just look right here. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I need to lift my hand on one of those invitations. Just lift it right now. Say, hey, pray for me. I don't want anyone to leave this place tonight not knowing for sure where they would go or that they're more on fire for God than they've ever been. I'm telling you, God can change you. Anyone else in this section over here, you lifted your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else, you say, hey, pray for me. I know I need that. Just lift it and say, hey, pray for me. Hallelujah. If you don't lift it, then I assume that you're more on fire for God than you've ever been in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Ma'am, I would like for you to just come. I want to personally pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. I believe God's doing something in your heart. Hallelujah. If this whole night, this whole message was just for you, and I know it's not, but if it was just for you, I'm telling you, it would be worth all of our time. God loves you so much. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, you are precious in His sight. And I'm telling you, God's doing a work in you. He's changing you. He's filling you right now with the Holy Spirit. He's saving you. And all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. He said, whosoever, He said, He will in no way cast you out. There's no way He's going to reject you. That's awesome. It's the love of the Lord. He loves you so much. Yeah, go ahead. God. Hallelujah. God's